What's happening, everybody, and welcome back to our CCF podcast, where Christ reigns supreme, our community gets redeemed, and our fellowship is the dream. This weekly podcast, produced and recorded from our storage room studios, is meant to be a weekly encouragement for our friends and future friends of Christ Community Fellowship. We hope to provide you with an opportunity to have further discussion and insight into the current sermon series, as well as provide special guests to update our CCF family on the ministries in our church and around our community. As always, be prepared for some shenanigans, tomfoolery, laughter, and an overall good time. So turn up the volume, strap in, hold on. This is gonna be a bumpy ride.
Well, hey, we want to welcome you back to our podcast, podcast number 6 in our season 1 series, I guess. I don't know how many more we got for the season, but this is number 6, and this is it. Josh is done. He's fed up. But we're learning each and every week how to do this. My energy level is rather low because we've just gotten off of Easter weekend and from... Good Lord, from Thursday, straight through to a couple different egg hunts in Madison and Bingham, and then a sunrise service and 2 services and then a nursing home service. I'm about done. So I thought, well, what possibly could we do today? Who could we invite in here to just kind of have a sit down and as we kind of rehash Easter and kind of look at the past and look hopefully into the future. The guy who jumped into my mind this morning was one of our elders, and is one of our elders, Sean Swain. He's been an elder, good Lord, I don't know, for a while.
Long time.
He's been everything, pretty much. He's been a deacon for a long time. He's been an elder for a long time. And I've been here 19 years, and Sean was here before me. So I thought it would be fun to sit down with him and just kind of pick his brain, take a trip back down memory lane, where church was, whatever, 20 some odd years ago, and as he looks upon it now, and he was here all this weekend as well to kind of get an idea of what's been taking place and kind of the fun of it all. So I want to welcome you, Sean, to our CCF podcast. Welcome abroad. I know this, we kind of just kidnapped you from downstairs, so yep. We gave you no heads up. So
no preparation
whatsoever. But knowing Sean, I know he'll be fine.
Memory lane might be kind of short, but
so I'll first of yeah. So first of all, I mean, we were trying to figure out, or you were trying to figure out when you started coming here. Back then, it was United Baptist Church of Madison, Maine.
Correct.
And
it had to be after 95. But probably 96 or 97.
Yep.
Would have been the time frame that I started coming here.
Okay.
Yep. Beth and I.
Yeah, and you and Beth were probably at that point some of the younger couples in the church?
We were. In fact, I remember shortly after you got here, there was some kind of a meeting that was gonna go on in the social hall after the service, and you stood in the pulpit and said, okay, I guess everyone 40 and under. And I looked at Beth and said, we're no longer young people in this church anymore. Because I was 45 or something, you know.
But yeah, that's a way of sneaking up on you. That's funny. So when you started coming, and you were here for a number of years prior to, obviously, even Pastor Dan, yeah. You probably did a couple different Easters. You've been here for Easter. Probably the familiar, traditional type of services.
Yeah. Sunrise service has always been out there at the Snowmobile Club.
Yeah.
Just as we do it now and did yesterday. We used to have a breakfast here in the church.
Oh, yeah.
That was something I was mentioning, talking to Chris Miller about it yesterday at the Snowmobile Club. Remembering that.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of gave me a little feel for that when we were able to go in there inside the clubhouse yesterday and get some coffee and hot chocolate, some muffins. It's like, all right, maybe we could build on this for next time.
Exactly.
Some scrambled eggs wouldn't be bad.
Nobody else wants it at that time of the morning.
That's right. That's right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. So kind of for people who are new, and we have had a lot of growth in the last couple of years, so a lot of people have no recollection of what church was like prior to them being here, you know, a couple of years ago. You do. You know kind of how it was. If you had to describe a Sunday morning service here, how would you do that?
Well, it was a very typical Baptist church.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to a number of different Baptist churches growing up. They were always Baptist. And some were more rigid than others.
Yeah.
And but typically, you know, a few hymns.
Yep.
You know, and take the offering. You have a sermon. Keep that sermon tight to the timeline.
Yep.
Have another hymn, and then you're dismissed.
Right.
And if it does run over, you know, there's going to be some grumbling, maybe from the back pew.
Yep.
That you interfered with dinner.
That's right. Yeah. I still hear some of that sometimes, but yeah.
Very regimented.
Yeah.
Great. Great to see the changes that have occurred here.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, I know when I was here, when I got here, I think in 2005, honestly, and I mean, it's not an exaggeration. I think the average age of the people here probably averaged in like high 70s, low 80s, because I mean, there were some people who were up in their upper 80s and 90s coming here.
Yep.
And it was a weird dynamic. There was some really, really elderly folks here. And then, I can't remember their names now, but they did the youth group. And there was like this, so there's a big gap. There was like 80-year-olds and then a bunch of teenagers. And,
yep.
I always thought that was like, well, this is different. We didn't, it was an odd group.
I think it really was, technically a dying church.
Yeah.
Because I can remember when we had 5 kids in Sunday school.
Yeah.
5. That was it.
Yeah.
And I remember when your father came, and he was, when we called him, I think Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Chuck, yep. McLaughlin might have called him, or Terry. Anyway, when he had just retired.
Yep.
And moved back to Madison, it was he answered the phone, which,
yeah,
is great. And it was basically a rescue mission.
Yeah.
You know, the church had split. Some people had left. Typical church split.
Yep.
That happens. And I think that was, he was just, you know, what he preached, 30 years in Holden?
Yeah, yeah.
And when I first learned about your father's history and everything, because I knew the Curtis name,
right,
from Madison, I knew his brothers, and when I learned that he had pastored a church for 30 or more years,
right,
without being run out of town, you know?
Yep.
That was just unheard of.
Amazing, yeah.
I said, this man's got some wisdom, and
yeah,
sure enough,
yeah,
oh, he absolutely started to show us the wisdom and experience that he had. And he, you know, his mindset was to model basically a simple church,
yeah,
very simple church, to move away from the committees and the congregational rule and voting on everything that,
yeah,
came along, going to an elder leadership paradigm. Just took away the power blocks that you will get out of a group of people. It's human nature that there's going to be cliques and groups and families that decide they want to have some more influence. And just bringing us to a biblically centered leadership.
Yeah.
Elder rule. It was, it just simplified things so much. And again, I mean, that's his experience.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. Wisdom.
And that was just the start of it.
Yeah.
Just the start of it.
Yeah.
Had to work with the older folks. I don't know the author, but somebody wrote a book called Who Stole My Church?
Yep, I remember going through that book, yeah.
Who Stole My Church? And it's a generational, it's a book about generational changes in a church.
Yep.
Doesn't have to be bad.
Right.
It's just culture.
Yeah.
And I remember him taking some of the old folks through that book.
Yep.
And because we were moving away from hymns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you brought your guitar, you brought a lot of enthusiasm. The biggest change was the youth.
Yeah.
You know, we were still operating as United Baptist Church, not Christ Community Fellowship.
Right, right.
And you immediately went into the community as your mission field and brought in the youth. And the youth ended up bringing in their parents.
Yeah, yeah, it was amazing.
To some extent.
Yep. Yeah, and, absolutely.
And just the word got out. And, you know, what a transformation.
Yeah, I think the whole simplifying church and the whole elder rule, as much of a paradigm shift as it was for the United Baptist Church, it was so freeing. You know, they didn't realize that, like, it just opened, it just made freedom in within like what we do in ministry that
exactly.
much more capable. And you know, because I remember, you know, first few years, you know, people were just nervous to step in to do anything. Like, we're looking for Sunday school teachers, like, oh, I don't know, like they got chastised or disciplined at some point in time because they didn't do it right, and so then they were afraid to ever step up and volunteer and help. And I'm like, listen, like, it's okay. You're gonna.
Yeah.
It's okay to make a mistake, and you know. So there was like a freedom in that, and it took a little while for people to catch on to it, because I think they were always like suspicious, like, okay, when's the other foot? You know, when's the other shoe gonna drop? And you know, they're like, see, we told you couldn't do this, and
right.
But it didn't, and then they started to trust that this was the right direction to go, and I think, you know, we could sense that. You were part of the eldership when we were. You know, got to that point where, okay, we call ourselves United Baptist Church, but very few of us sitting in these pews are Baptists, you know, and so we were like, well, what do we, you know, is it time to make that change, like that name change, just for the sake of kind of saying, okay, like, we really aren't functioning in that way any longer.
Yeah.
And that was a big to-do, and it you know, it upset some people, but and in the long run, it was the right thing to do, because I think I remember talking to Chris Erickson a couple weeks ago, and it's like letting people know, like, nothing's going to change. This is what we're doing. We're glorifying Christ. We're in the community. We're all about the fellowship. Like, nothing about the church changes. We're just changing the name to fit what we already do.
Yep.
And then a lot of the older folks are able to get. Like, okay, they get behind that. Like, oh, okay, we're not changing anything. Nothing, the doctrines don't change, and
nope.
You know, we're just gonna function the same way, but just under a different name to hopefully take down some barriers that people do have. I mean, you know, like every denomination, there are some people, you know, there are some churches and within denominations that have given that denomination a bad name, and it's like, why not remove a stumbling block?
Right.
It was just like, oh, I don't go to a Baptist church, no way. But it's like, well,
right.
Will you go to a community church? Like, yeah, okay. So it's kind of been a fun little change there.
Or to use the word non-denominational,
right?
Community church. I remember the question coming up. Well, I've always told people, say, what what religion are you?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I'm a Baptist. I go to the Baptist Church. Right. I go to United Baptist Church. And in other towns, you know, it's the First Baptist Church, yep, or it's the Free Baptist Church.
Right.
I saw one the other day in Bodenham, it's the Second Baptist Church. So I got to wonder what kind of little doctrinal...
Right, what church split happened there, right?
We're going to be the Second Baptist Church. But that was, yeah, it was an identity thing. But again, your father... stepped in and said, you know, we need to recognize where God is at work.
Yeah.
And he was at work in the youth, and we expounded on that, and you did, you were the big force with that, but just focusing on not so much the traditional, you know, you mentioned denominations, mm-hmm. I mean, denominations have been so divisive over,
yeah,
the years,
yeah,
you know, and some for good reason.
Right.
Some for good reason. But to pull away from any denomination and call yourself non-denominational, a Bible-based, believing, teaching church is biblical.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we... Christ Community Fellowship. I mean, that's a great name. It doesn't roll off like
that's
I'm
right.
a Baptist.
I know,
or,
it's true.
You know, but
we've shortened it. CCF is basically
CCF, and then you have to explain that. And
right.
It's you know, Christ is our focus.
Yep.
The community is our mission field, and fellowship at this church has just never been better.
Right.
I
yeah.
mean, like you mentioned, people were intimidated by stepping up to serve in
right.
a position because they were under a microscope.
Sure. Yeah.
And now I've just noticed, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just noticing the other day how many people, because we had the two services,
yeah,
and I was wandering around doing different things and just looking at all the people who are serving in
yeah.
this church.
Yeah.
All of them.
Oh, man.
So many.
Yeah. I was so excited. Like, Stephanie and I, you know, before we went to bed last night, we were just kind of rehashing the weekend. And she goes, what was the best part of it? And for me, it was like all the different things that took place. Like, I just loved watching just all the different people stepping in to serve and volunteer, some of them right in their gifting of, like, you know,
yep,
getting
yep.
people together and directing traffic or whatever. But it was like, it does take a large amount of people to do what we were able to do. And really, I mean, the transition even from like the 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock was super smooth. You know, and I think all the transitions were really smooth, and that's only because, you know, we had people literally just everywhere, whether they were serving in the nursery or the kids ministry, or they were helping direct people into the pews, and, you know, it was just, you know, you had a group that they were putting all the snacks together. I mean, it was
yep.
just, you know, it does take a large group of people who are focused on the same thing. Like, that's our fellow. I mean, we're partnering together in this, like, okay. Like, we want to make Easter a big deal, and I mean, I put a shout out for, like, Clinton Helen Buzzle. Like, they spent a month stuffing like
yep.
20,000 eggs with their team of people, and, you know, there's no way I would have been able to do that, you know, like, they just didn't have the time. But they, you know, we had a team of people down here in the basement about every third day for a month, just stuffing thousands of eggs ready, just because they were just excited about, cool, we get to do this outreach. And it's, you know, so it's fun. Like, we can sit back afterward, and, like, that was, like, the best part. I love watching, like, people use their gifts, you know, and people use their gifts, like Jesus, you know, like, and Paul says, like, the body of Christ functioning, you know, the
yep.
way they should. Every part has its function. And it's just, it's awesome to watch that take place. And then, you know, it's like, yeah, this is how it's supposed to work. I want this to be the way it is every Sunday, you know, but I think it can be. I think it's going to need to be, because we are growing. We're getting to that point where it's like, okay, you know, we need to have people ready to go, you know, lay out chairs whenever they can. And it's fun.
And Chris and Paula mentioned that at the first service when we were just getting started. And, you know, we had 230 people at the first service. And Chris came up and said, you know, I haven't put out a black chair yet. You know, we had a couple rows of brown chairs, but I haven't put out a black chair yet.
Yeah.
And he said, and I've been asking them to, you know, to move in. He was in the welcoming task.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, would you like to help us? And they were always eager to say, yeah, anything I can do to help.
Yeah.
Can you squeeze into this pew here?
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Yes. That is a gifting.
And he was, he said, I've been sweet talking them.
Sweet talking right into the pews, man. That was great. I mean, there really was.
And it's a blessing to have to deal with the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what we've hoped for and prayed for.
Right. Right.
And I think part of that is you know, the word's out.
Yep.
You know, people, the more people that come and hear your messages and hear our worship team. I remember the last time we did one of those ecumenical things at the auditorium, right?
Yep.
And my sister-in-law's attend the Catholic Church, and they were impressed with with our worship team, and they were kind of like, we don't look so hot, you know? But so many changes that have been good, and you mentioned you know, some negatives about certain denominations, and the freedom to pull away from those really tight paradigms that you need order in worship.
Yep.
But you also got to be open to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, we're free.
Right.
You know, if somebody needs to come forward and needs prayer, you know, we're focused on that. Whether it's, you know, not right in the middle of service, but still, we focus on those things, and the order of worship is not so tight that you don't have any flexibility to meet the needs of the body.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, and I think that's partly the DNA of our church, and only because, you know, growing up, I watched my dad, and you know, they grew a very large church in Massachusetts, and it was non-denominational. And his honestly, his biggest challenge was that because it grew, you know, you always have people come in and like they want to be more conservative, and then you have the other people like they want to be more wild and free.
Yeah.
And to be able to maintain that steady, like, this is who we are, this is what we're gonna do. We're walking right down the middle, you know, and sometimes the fringe on either side would like, well, I'm gonna go find the place that fits me better. But the majority of people are like, okay, cool, I'm good with this, you know. And I think that's kind of where we found ourselves even now at Christ Community Fellowship. It's just, you know, we the area is full of all kinds of folks that are looking for the, you know, a church or looking for the Lord, and you know, we're not extreme either, on either end. I mean, we're just biblically based, just following the Lord, listening to the Spirit of God. When the Holy Spirit moves, hey, we're right on it. But we're, you know, we're not gonna fall off into the, you know, off the beaten path. And we're not gonna go, you're not gonna be so conservative that we, you know, it squashes the freedom. And so, you know, people have found that kind of, okay, we get it. Like, you guys are like that middle of the road. You're right there. And you know, and yeah, sometimes we lose a few on the fringes, but they find their place.
But I think we find more, you know, the seeker friendly, people who don't fit the conservative typecast, you know.
Right.
You know, I can remember coming in one day and a guy sitting in the back pew with a lap dog.
Yeah.
You know, and that was not received well, you know.
Yeah, in the old Baptist church. You don't bring your dog in here.
You know, at a church that had a dress code.
Right.
You know, and on a hot summer day, the pastor had to ask permission to take his jacket off while he was preaching. you know, those kinds of things. Yeah. And that would create quite a stir, you know. Hey, he's got his jacket off. But just you know, being open to whoever walks through the door.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Yep. Whoever God brings through that door, yep, we need to minister to them.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I love that. I love that. I mean, I get the benefit. And you sit up front sometimes too and look back there. But, you know, to be able to look out and see, like, it really does look like our community. I mean, you know, we have, you know, back in the day, it was like, it looked like our elderly community in the, yep, church. But now, yep, it looks like our community. We have people from every walk of life. We have young families and kids and babies. And we have the older, you know, senior saints and stuff. But we have everybody in between. And like, yeah, it looks like the Central Maine, you know. It isn't typecast, you know. It's like, you know, there are people who they feel comfortable wearing a suit and tie, go for it. Yep. And others are going to come, yep, in with their flip-flops and, you know, shorts and t-shirt, great, like, you know. And I think that's just fun, and I think that's where part of the people just feel like, okay, there's some freedom here, and I can be who I am and allow God to just do his thing, and it's fun.
And they respond to the message,
right?
Which is always, you know, I've heard people describe it, you know, that I brought my boyfriend. You,
yep,
know, I brought my boyfriend, and once he heard one of Tobin's sermons, he wanted to come back.
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh,
because something in that sermon spoke to him.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't. It's just so,
right,
different.
Yeah.
So different.
Yeah.
And I could go on about some of the negative aspects of churches I grew up in and church, you know, the old Baptist church paradigm.
Yep.
But they were good for that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, everything changed late 60s,
yeah,
early 70s.
Oh, absolutely.
Everything changed. Yeah. And so your father's church,
yeah,
you know, you didn't want anything to do with it. It, yeah, was too rigid. It was too tight. And it's not that you are going to water down your doctrine or anything like,
no,
that to change, but you just change with culture. And
yeah,
there's a lot of good movies out there recently.
Oh, absolutely.
Greg,
yeah,
Laurie's movie.
Yeah.
The revolution, Jesus Revolution.
Yeah. Oh,
whatever.
That was great. Yeah.
There's a great picture of moving away from the old paradigm,
yeah,
of a conservative church with the suit and ties and.
Yeah. Well, and you think, I mean, the culture itself. You know, there was a time where, you know, everyone growing up at least knew who Jesus was. They knew what church was about. I mean, there was a level of morality within the nation, you know.
Yeah.
And now we get to a place where, I mean, I said it before, I remember coaching at the track a few years ago, and somebody said, hey, what do you do? Like, you're not a teacher here, but you coach. And like, yeah, well, during the day, I pastor a church. And they're like, what is that? Like, what do you mean? Like, what's a pastor? Like, well, you know, and I had to explain what a pastor does. And,
yep,
they're like, oh, have you ever been to church? Like, no, never been inside one. Like, oh, like, okay, well, I realized, like, wow, there's a whole different place to start. The starting point has moved. Like, it's like,
yep,
wow, we're,
yep,
not getting people who kind of know morality. They're just like, I have no concept of what you're even talking about. And so, you know, yeah, the doctrines don't change. The gospel, the message doesn't change, but our tactics kind of need to. Like, the way to explain it, the way to apply it, the way to get the word out there for people to be like, oh, okay, we got to start somewhere else. And, you know, that's kind of
I've had people say, you know, you have a budget, right?
Yeah,
yeah, we have a budget. Well, how do you handle that? People pay dues?
Right.
You pay dues? No, we, you know, and you try to explain the basic workings of a church.
Right, yeah.
And they're just not familiar with that at all.
Tithes and offerings, my friends.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a minute and take a break for an announcement that Matt Dyer is going to give us.
We have an exciting event coming up called Marriage Full of Life Experience. Register today and join us for the Marriage Full of Life Experience on Saturday, May 4th. Frank and Danielle Godley, pastor of Lifeway Church in Bangor, Maine, have a passion for serving and encouraging married couples. They believe marriages can not only survive, but thrive. This is their sixth year of hosting the Marriage Full of Life Experience. The Marriage Full of Life Experience provides practical tools and resources that will help you enjoy a marriage that's full of life. This year's special guest speakers are Allison and Vince Hungate, founders of Intentional Marriage. Here's some additional information that may be helpful. Your registration fee covers both you and your spouse. Only one ticket is needed per couple. This includes a light breakfast and four dynamic general sessions. The event will be held at the Anna Shriners campus on Broadway in Bangor, Maine. Child care will not be provided. We encourage you to treat this as a special date for you and your spouse. Finding child care is not always easy, but it's part of a worthwhile investment so you can enjoy this special experience.
All right, we're back. We're back, and we're going to I could sit here and talk with Sean for hours, but I know it is a podcast. And people will be like, holy cow, these guys are just going. I said, this is the joy of it. And I hopefully you get a feel and maybe, you know, get a chance to sit down with Sean sometime too. But we're gonna wrap this up. But I did want to just touch base with Sean before we come to a close. And just ask you, like, over the weekend, we're part of a lot of different things in Easter. Anything particular jump out at you that you're like, thank you, God, that I was able to be a part of that?
Well, it's, you know, starting with the sunrise service. I mean, the sun did rise.
Amen.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them. And it was cloudy, but you had that little envelope.
Yeah,
where beautiful. You could see the sun, and then it reflected off the clouds, and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. The music, you know, it was interesting how you guys handled the music with the iPhone into the microphone. That was great. So we were able to play a couple songs, and the messages were good. And just moving on to the two services and watching everybody come together, and you know, whenever there was something that needed to be handled, I was like, I can remember when there was just a few of us doing these things.
A lot of things, yeah.
You know, and because the numbers were smaller, right. But it was just good to see it all come together so smooth, like you said, and it was a really good Easter Sunday.
Yeah. It really was, and same thing. I have to say the same. You know, I just enjoyed seeing God move and use everybody that he that was kind of all focused on this one thing, and even to the nursing home. I mean, it was great. You know, Dan Clausen had a great message to share with them.
Great job.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Courtney's prayer.
It was just a beautiful day all around, and it really wasn't that draining for me, you know, because you're right, it wasn't like three or four people doing everything. It was spread out, and everybody took up a task, and it was good to watch.
So many hands make light to work.
Absolutely.
I noticed that, from last year, like the worry before you even started was like, oh no, Easter, and you don't want to think like, oh crap, Easter. But you know how much work there is.
Yep.
And this year was just like, boom, boom, boom. Everybody was doing their thing. Everybody knew what they had to do.
It took some organization. We met a couple times, a month prior to, and got people leading up the groups, and then was able to say, okay, go do your thing. And it made it that much easier. So that's awesome. Well, Sean, thank you for allowing yourself to be hijacked for a minute so we could chat. And it's always good to do that. And I hope that others, as they listen to this, will realize that there has been a lot of changes, and God is really on the move, and we're excited about it. And perhaps you've found yourself here at CCF and wondered how do I get involved, or how do I get involved more? And honestly, there's always opportunity. There's always places to serve, and I'm always a big proponent. If you see a need, then fill the need. It really is, there is a lot of freedom in that. And so thank you for listening, and we'll catch you all again next week. Producer Guy, Mr. Josh Emery, you can take us out.
Come join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for our worship service at 43 Maple Street, right here in Madison. Or join us online with our live stream from our CCF YouTube channel. Our Parents of Addicted Loved Ones support group meets Mondays at 6 p.m. Ladies Bible Study meets on Tuesday nights at 6:30 and again on Thursday afternoons at 1 p.m. Men's Connection meets on Thursdays, 5:30 for prayer, 6 for dinner, and 6:30 for Bible study. Join us when you can.